Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14, and I'm going to read verse number 1. I'm sure you're going to pardon us for shooting our time today, because some of these things are very important that we do them in church. As a matter of fact, we contemplated actually having a kind of a seminar for these home improvements, such that certain things that we're not able to discuss or share about on Sunday morning, we'll be able to deal with them on under a kind of a different atmosphere. But for now, we think that it may not benefit many of us because we believe that many of us show up more on a Sunday morning like this. So that's why we have not follow that path. Like, for instance, some of the questions that my wife took this morning, we would have loved to have them under a separate, in a very different setting. But be that as it may, we believe that the Lord is going to be glorified as we share this morning. Proverbs chapter number 14, I'll read verse number 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands, with her hands. 1 Peter chapter number 3, 1 Peter is in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 3, that's just before the first epistle of John, after the book of James. You come across the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. And I'm going to read verse number 7. Husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I will read that again. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Shall we pray? Father, breathe upon your word this morning. Let this word come alive unto us. Lord, because we are dealing with an important aspect of life, communicate into our heart the way we will understand at our various levels. Lord, I ask for an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people so that they will receive this word as it's been delivered. I ask that you anoint me afresh and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let it inscribe your word in the heart of your people. Let it come as the rain. Let it distill as the dew, even the dew of the morning, so that all of us together at the end of this teaching will have been tremendously blessed of you. Thank you because we will do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can I hear a louder amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, we'll continue with our series, Home Improvement, and I'm going to be teaching by the grace of God on the needs of home builders. The needs of home builders. The needs of home builders. Technically, we're going to be talking about the needs of wives, because we're talking about it in the context of a marriage setting, or if you like, to generalize the needs of women. But I think we're going to focus more on the needs of women as wives. That's why I've titled it The Needs of Home Builders. Now, a man said he went into a bookstore some years back, and he was just going through the bookshelf, and he came across this book titled Everything Men Know About Women. Everything Men Know About Women. So he was so excited to find out everything that men know about women, and then he got the book, he flipped the first page, there was nothing. The second page, nothing. Third, and he went throughout the entire book, there was nothing. Apparently, the book was a joke to humorously state that men know nothing about women. Now, the reason why we're going to be taking this is because we want to talk more about the wives' in our homes and in our lives, if we are husbands and women in general. And this is to help us. You remember last week we talked about the pattern, that we need to build it according to the pattern. And I took some time to explain that the pattern of God for the home setting and how it relates to his purpose. And I explained that the pattern of God in the home setting, even though he made men and women equal, somebody said that the woman was actually taken from the rib of the man, not from his foot, because they are co-equal in the presence of God. They are co-heirs, as it were, of the grace of the Lord. But when it comes to the home setting, there is some functional hierarchy, if you like, and I link that to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, co-equal in terms of being, but not co-equal in terms of operation. They are co-equal. Jesus is equal to the Father is equal to the Son is equal to the Holy Spirit in terms of being, the essence of being. But in terms of operation on earth, they are different functions. So when we're talking about differences, we're relating it into to the responsibility of functions and not the essence of being. The essence of being, they are equal, but when it comes to function, they are different. The Father gives instruction to the Son. The Son says, whatever I hear my Father say, I do. And when he was going, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals them to us as a reason of function. So functionally, the Godhead functions in such a way that one reports, as it were, to the other. It operates under the guidance, the instruction of the other. And so when you bring it into the home setting, you find this exactly the same thing playing out. The husband and the wife are co-equal. They are exactly the same in terms of essence of being. But when it comes to function, the function in the home setting, there is an order. And you find this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 3. I didn't have time last week to talk about that. It talks about God being over Christ, Christ being over the man, and the man being over the woman in terms of function. And attempt to reverse this order caused chaos. And we talked about that last week. This week, by the grace of God, I want us to talk more about the needs of wives. And that's very important because we are very different. A man is different compared to a woman. I'm not just talking about, you know, the biological differences, you know, the changes of organ, the replacement of some organs from one to the other. I'm talking about the way they are built, their not just genetic makeup, but their constitution, both emotionally and if you like, their way of life, their way of thinking, their way of processing things is quite different. And the Lord made it exactly so, because he has a purpose. For instance, a man marries a woman thinking that she will never change. But a woman marries a man thinking that he will change. When the woman will marry the man, he will say, well, he will change with time. But the man does not want the woman to change at all. So he is frustrated when the woman changes over time. Now, that's a major difference. Now, somebody jokingly said that a man won't hesitate to pay $2 for something that is worth $1 if he really wants it. Opposite to this, a woman won't hesitate to pay $1 for something that is worth $2 even though she does not want it. So we're different. We're different the way we're made. We're different the way we process things, the way we view things. Our worldviews may be different. And so it is important for us to understand each other and to understand the way the Lord has made us so that we can actually maximize each other's potential. Now, the Bible says it's a wise woman that builds her home. A wise woman builds her home. It's a foolish woman that tears it down with her hands. The way the Lord has packaged women is such that they are the ones that actually build the home. They are the home builders. If you like, they are the glue that brings everything together. That's the way they are made. Now, but in order for them to function effectively in that capacity, they need to have their needs met. In other words, there are certain needs in the life of a wife that needs to be met in order for her to be effective in her home building, if you like, task. So this is what we want to discover by the grace of God. And why would we want to discover this? Why are we so interested in finding out about the needs of women? or the needs of a wife, specifically because we're talking about a family setting. Number one, because the Lord wants us to do so. The Word of God encourages us to do exactly that. In the passage we have just read now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them with understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of who they are, how they are made, what drives them, what impresses them, what made them who they are. You dwell with them with understanding. So the word of the Lord encourages us as husband or as men in general to understand the makeup of the wife, of our wives or the women. That's number one. Secondly, why do we need to know their needs? We need to know the needs because the best way to build the capacity of a home is to build the capacity of a woman. And if you need to build the capacity of a woman, you need to understand her needs. So we need to understand the needs, not just because the Lord says so. That's very important and critical. But we also need to know the needs of our wives because we're not going to be able to explore their potential to the fullest if we don't know these needs. Now, building this capacity for a woman actually starts as a single person. So when we're talking about the building, a woman as a builder, it does not start only when the woman is married. It actually starts when the woman is single. It starts potentially. The building of the home of the future starts when the woman is single. It continues during the period of dating or courtship, and then it still continues in the period of actual marriage. So it is not something that as a woman we say, okay, well, I will wait until I get married and then I will begin to build my home. That the building of the homes actually starts at the point of being a single person, potentially. What do I mean by that? I explained last week by each person, man or woman, needs to actually function under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a single person or as a single again person, you need to work on yourself to be able to be built up. Because the more you are built up as a person, the more you have the capacity to build the home of the future. Then it goes into the time of courtship. In the time of courtship, it is actually a point you begin to build your home. You are not yet married, but you begin to build your home. You begin to build your would-be spouse or your future husband or your future husband in this case. Myself and my wife, we experienced that in the period of our courtship. And that's why sometimes I wonder what couples do when they are dating. Because it's actually the time to begin to build your home as a woman. What do I mean by that? I just shared it briefly this morning. The building, as it relates to finances in my life as a person, actually started when we were dating, you know? And my wife would talk about money, and I saw her the way she was handling money. I saw how she felt there was no particular attachment to money. I mean, she graduated from the university a year ahead of me, and then she was working somewhere, and I knew she wasn't earning so much. But because she knew I was needing money, you know, to finish my studies and my program, and there were some things going on at the family level that my parents were not able to provide as much as they would love to at that particular point and season, she would literally package whatsoever she had, and she would send it across to me. And I was quite impressed about that because I knew she was actually also having needs to deal with. And over and above that, she would come with money and she would say, this is money. We were not married. We were still dating. And she would say, this is money. So what do you think? Let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. I saw that she was not attached to money. And I was challenged because I was completely opposite of that. You know, I was, if it gets into my eye, it sticks. There is a glue. There was a glue that was in my hand. If it gets in there, it sticks, you know. And then I saw the way she was dealing with money, and I said, no, something has to change here. Don't forget, I was a pastor at the time. I was paying my tithes, and after my tithe has gone, you dare not come around money, around me, you know. But she taught me that. She taught me that by example. She didn't teach me by even sitting me down to say this. She taught me that by example. And what was she trying to do at that time? She was building a home. She was building a home. We were not married, but she was building a home. Such that by the time we got married, years down the line, money issue was not an issue. It was already sorted before we came into marriage. So it was not an issue whatsoever. It was not so much an issue that, in fact, when we were going to get married and we were going to buy things, and we had a list of things to buy, and I remember getting into the particular store, we were going to buy a Bible, and the Bible for wedding, you know, it's a white, you know, they usually will prescribe a white Bible. And we had two options. There was one that was cheap, and there was one that was more expensive. The one that was actually expensive was of good quality. And the man asked us, so which one were you going to buy? And she knew the state of our finances. I could actually afford the white one. I mean, sorry, the one that is of quality. But my wife said, no. Let's just buy this one. It's just for the wedding day. It's just for the wedding day. And the guy that was going to sell the Bible to us said, wow, you know, I've been selling Bibles here many years, and I always find couples fighting out of this office because the woman always insists on taking the more expensive one, and the man will always say, no, that's more too expensive, let's buy this one. I've never come across anyone, a woman, because you want to think that, oh, that's my day, it's a special thing for me. I mean, I cannot bear you. No, we're going for the best one. And the better one was maybe almost 10 times more expensive. And my wife said, no, let's buy that cheaper one. It's just for a day, and I will be okay with it. And no, I said, I insist, we're going to buy the more expensive one. I've got money this time, praise God. So I insisted, and we bought the Bible, and the more expensive one. It turned out later that she actually used the Bible for several years, even after the wedding. Now, why did I go into that? And I took notice of that because it ministers something to me. This woman is thinking about our future together. He cares so much about what we do with our money. I think I need to be responsible as a man. That was a teaching. I received that with thanksgiving. Amen. You know, because of that simple instruction that I just got from. So I had gained that confidence in her, in the issue of spending, that by the time we got married, it was not an issue. I'll tell you this. Even before we got married, I was working, and as a new junior doctor, I was earning far much more than my wife would, even though she had graduated and a year earlier. But she knew about all my money. She knew everything. She was actually in control of it. At the time, I was like, I hope I'm not being stupid, young man. I mean, all your money is being controlled by a woman that you're not even married to. Come on, think. I couldn't share it with my friends because it was going to be too dangerous to talk about that, you know. But she was on top of things. Now, I went into that because as a single person, you can begin to build your home even before you step into the home of what you call marriage. And that's very critical. That's very important. But more importantly is, why do we want to talk about, I've stated why we need to talk about these needs of women. And it's important to state that it is so difficult to paint every wife or every woman with the same brush. So some of these needs that I'm going to be talking to you about this morning may not specifically apply to you because ultimately you are a unique person created in the image and the likeness of God. But the things I'm going to be talking about as needs of women are the things that we have gleaned from talking to people, from having chats and conversation, and these are the things that comes across to me that are the most essential needs of women. I will talk about three of them. Obviously, the three of them have a bit of sobs. So these are the things that I've gleaned talking to people, counseling people in our own capacity as a pastor, and of course, talking to my wife because she's a woman. Okay, and it's important. I'm sure you will say that it goes without saying. No, it should be said because we are in an age where the person you call your wife may not be a woman, all right, and the person you call your husband may not be a man. So when you say your wife is a woman, it's not an emphasis that is not required in our age. If you had said that in 1970, somebody would have laughed, but you need to say that my wife is a woman. Now, you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, because people are married to all kinds of things, and people will introduce their goat as their husband. You know, you need to say that this my woman is my wife. Okay, right. So what are the three major needs that I discover over time in counseling and in talking to people and, of course, gleaning from God's word? Number one, your wife needs love. Your wife needs love. And we see that clearly stated. Ephesians chapter number 5 says this. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her. So the first major need, I believe, is that your wife needs love. And the scripture does not miss word in describing the kind of love that your wife needs. Your wife needs a love that is demonstrable. In another way, your wife needs you to demonstrate the love that you've got for her. And the way men are challenged is, if you want to know how much you should love your wife, just think about how much Christ loved the church. How much does Christ love the church? Christ loved the church to death. That is technically saying, men, you need to love your wife to death. I know it's a very difficult thing, but that's exactly what the Bible is saying. Love her to death. In other words, make sure you die before death actually do you part. You know, when people are getting married, they say in sickness and in health and whatever, until death do us part. Before that physical death actually comes, the Lord wants you to love her in such a way that you have actually died before death actually do you part. That's exactly the way the Lord wants us to love our wife, because the Bible says the husband, love your wives. And that's a command. If you notice, that's a command. It's not a feeling. If she does well, I will love her. No, it is a command. Just like you shall not steal. It didn't say you shall not steal when you are not hungry. You know, you shall not steal. Whether you are hungry or not does not matter. Exactly the same way, husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Now, the problem with this kind of love is that it is difficult for you to demonstrate this kind of love because you don't generate it. It is not a kind of love that you generate by yourself. The love that we find in the world are the love that is that applies because the woman is doing well. So as a reaction to her doing well, you love her. Now, but the love that the Bible is talking about here is a different kind of love. It's a love that is actually God's kind of love that is not in response to what the woman does or does not do. And this is a kind of love that you cannot generate, but you can only dispense it. So where does it come from? It comes from your head, Christ, who is the head of the man. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 3? Christ is the one that generates this kind of love. It comes through you, and you dispense it to your wife. And that is why it is difficult to generate or to display this kind of love if you are not under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is not your Lord, then you will struggle to dispense this kind of love because you cannot generate it. It's not that you are being wicked. It's just that you don't have the capacity to generate the kind of love that will still say, I love you, when the woman is messing up. So this kind of love is a love that comes from Christ and that is conveyed through you as the man that is placed over the home so that you dispense to your wife. Now, and it is a love that has to be demonstrated. You know, the Bible says Christ, the way Christ died for us, the way love your wife as Christ loved the church. How does Christ love the church? Christ died for the church even when the church was not interested in being with Christ. You remember the Bible talks about the church in the wilderness, Acts chapter number 7, verse 38. There was a church in the wilderness talking about the people of the Jewish nation, and Christ died for that nation even when they did not have any idea of what Jesus was doing. They did not love him. They hated him, actually. In fact, they were the ones that actually killed him. Now, but the way Christ died for the church, when the church was not interested in the love affair with Christ, that's the way the Lord wants us to love our wife. So it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do with dispensing it because you are receiving it. All right. So if you're not under the Lord, receiving the law from Christ, then you cannot dispense it. And it should be something that you demonstrate. How do you demonstrate this love? Let me give you two or three things. Number one, you need to demonstrate your love by giving her attention. You need to demonstrate that by giving her attention. Be attentive to her talks, to what she says. I believe that many women turn out to be, gossips and talebearers because their men would just not give attention to their words. You know, the woman wants to talk, but the man is saying, okay, he's changing the channel. She's frustrated. You need to be attentive to what she wants to say. I was almost tempted to say that you pretend to be attentive, but they get to know when you are pretending. You know, and say, okay, keep talking, but you're not listening. No, I'm listening, just keep talking, and you're changing the channel. No, it doesn't work like that. You need to actually give full attention to them. And the way the Lord has made women is such that it's not like they are actually talking to you because they need you to give them solution. You'll be surprised. They just want you to hear what they have to say. You don't have to profile a solution. And that's the beauty of it as a man. You actually don't need to solve the problem. You just need to listen. Or at least pretend in a very good way to be listening. You know? I just say, yeah, wow. Really? Ooh. And as soon as she goes, you just keep watching your Arsenal and Manchester United, you know? You know, I'm just saying that you try to listen because they need to offload. They need to speak. And they need to talk to you. Unfortunately, you are the first one to receive it. You are the one that is receiving it. You know, whenever my wife will come around and say, oh, okay, you know, something happened. And I say, okay, so what happened? She say, no, at 8:30 I got to work. No, what happened? What happened? You know, I'm coming. I'm just saying at 8:30 I got to work and then I make a couple of tea. And then as I was checking my internet, I saw this email. Ah, what happened? As in, go to the end. You know, men, do you understand what I'm talking about? But they just want you to listen. And I'm still trusting God for grace and patience to be listening. I say, okay, let's make a deal. What you need to do is just tell me the last thing, and then I will be comfortable to listen to you starting from 8:30, I promise. But just tell me what the last thing is, because, you just need to listen. Be attentive to your wife. Demonstrate your love by giving her attention. Like I said, she doesn't even need solution. You know, a woman came from work one day and she said, you know, we had a terrible day. I've been having a terrible day at work these days. There's so much work to do. And the man says, talk to your boss so that you can reduce your task. And the woman continued, you know, I even had to go and do the work of a typist, because we don't have a typist. And the man says, talk to your boss so that she can employ a typist. And the woman got frustrated. You're not even listening. She said, but I just told you what to do. Why? What's the problem? The man is trying to provide a solution because men are naturally task-oriented. They want to complete a task. The woman is a different person entirely because he just wants a relationship. He actually wants the problem to stay so that he can have a reason to be talking to you. So the man is trying to solve the problem. The woman actually wants to keep discussing the problem. You understand? So there are two different people. Why? Because when God created man, Adam, he said, Adam, this is the garden. Tend and keep it. Task. When the woman was created, he wasn't given a task. He was introduced to Adam. This is your helpmate. Relationship. So from the foundation of the world, the man is programmed to be looking for how to solve a problem. The woman is only looking for an opportunity to always discuss and maintain some relationship. So until you understand that, you will think that he's asking you to solve the problem. She does not. She only wants you to listen. So give attention. Or like I say, just try and pretend as if you're giving attention. Amen? All right, so demonstrate your love by giving her attention. Number two, demonstrate your love by providing for her. Demonstrate your love by providing for her. I'm talking about three things. I'm still on number one, and I think I'm going to finish with number one because of our time today, and I will continue from there next week. So the number one we're talking about is your wife needs love, and I'm just trying to talk to you about how to demonstrate this love. The first one is demonstrate your love by giving her attention. The second one is demonstrate your love by providing for her. Demonstrate your love by providing for her. You know, I see people in this day and age, Christian men are trying to withdraw provision from their wife to punish them for something they have done. Unwise. You need to demonstrate your love to her by making provisions available even when she's not doing the right thing. Because she needs that to build the home. Do you know what interesting thing? Even when your wife has the capacity to provide for herself, she still wants you to make that provision available. She just enjoys getting it because you are paying for it. I have experienced that, you know. After a long while, I got to know, because my wife told me, you know, she came to me and she said, you know, I just love spending your money. Now this is a woman that was earning, you know, enough to take care of the bill, and then she would still ask me to make a payment for something because she just wants me to be the one to make that provision. So it is not a wise thing to withdraw your provision because you think that your wife is, quote unquote, messing up, and then you withdraw it. Say, until you do the right thing, I'm not going to give it. You are acting as an headmaster when you're supposed to be acting as a leader in the home. The two don't. You're not a headmaster taking care of kids at school. You are a man providing leadership for a woman that has the capacity, intelligent enough to build your home. So demonstrate, number one, demonstrate your love by giving her attention. Number two, demonstrate your love by providing for her. And the third one, after the first point, is demonstrate your love by caring for her as a delicate vessel. As a delicate vessel. So don't forget, I said, we're still talking about your wife needs love, and this love, you can demonstrate it by giving her attention. Secondly, you can demonstrate this by giving her, by providing for her. And thirdly, demonstrate your love by caring for her delicately, as a delicate vessel. That's what the Bible says in verse number 7, in the passage we have just read, 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7, and I will round up with that. Husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers may not be hindered. Take care of her and do that in a delicate manner. Some of us have vessels in the house. We've got cups, and we deal with them differently. You know, plastic cup, you can just drink water and just kick it, and then look for it the next day, and you will find it. You just need to clean it, and you drink from here. Now, if you do that with a glass cup, just be ready to buy another one. And not just buy another one, it's going to shatter, and it's going to put you in danger. Now, the Bible describes them as a vessel that you need to take care of delicately. Not because they are less intelligent. In fact, as a matter of fact, it says it there. It says, as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of God. Heirs together means you have access to equal inheritance. You have access to equal inheritance. She is your equal in terms of access to inheritance is concerned. I place her under you because the functioning of the home is supposed to flow from God through Christ to you and from you to your wife. Handle her delicately. And that also expresses itself in the emotions of women. You know, women are emotional people. You know, cry, you know. You know, talk about things and talk about it again, and tomorrow talk about it again. You know, that's just the women. You just don't say, no, but we've talked about this once. You know, don't be a nag. No. Just listen to her. Deal with her delicately. As if you're taking care of her. The next time you want to talk to your wife, just talk to her as if you are handling a very precious glass cup that must not break. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to drink water. No, that's the way you need to drink to talk to her. Ask questions again. Oh, sorry, what I said the other time, was that too harsh? You know, I don't ask that questions usually from colleagues who are men. But when I speak to my wife, I say, what I said the other time, did you think it was too harsh? You know? And she said, yeah, well, it came across that way. Well, that's who you are. That's the way you deal with things. I said, no, sorry. actually meant, you know, and then I will quote it off with some words, you know. because you need to deal with her as a delicate vessel, as a delicate vessel. And the Bible says this, and this is where I'm going to round up. It says that your prayers may not be hindered. Many men don't understand the reasons why they don't get their prayers answered. They feel frustrated and they still keep resisting the devil. You know what that passage is talking about? If you don't deal with her well, don't bother talking to me. That's God talking to you, man. If you don't deal with that woman very well, don't waste your prayer time. Why? I'm far gone. I'm not listening. I know that's shocking, but that's exactly what God is saying. Deal with her well, then you can come to me and pray. You don't beat your wife and abuse her, and then you say you are running to a prayer meeting. To do what? Wasting your time. Deal with her well, then you can come and pray with, and then your prayer will get answered. He said, because so that your prayer be not hindered. Men, next time when you want to go to an interview, ask yourself, am I okay with my wife? because it appears that, and that's the way the Lord deals with the people, that he places, when the Lord sees that someone has been placed, whether by the society or by the way things function, under certain people, he takes responsibility to protect that person as an extra thing. You know, that's the way he deals with orphans. That's the way he deals with childless people. That's the way he deals with strangers. And that's exactly the way he deals with wife in the home setting. There is an extra covering of protection for that woman you have no clue about. And this extra protection is given by the Most High God. And it's to make you to make sure that you do the right thing. You don't deal with her well, don't talk to me because I'm not listening. That's to make sure that you are forced, especially if you are a very stubborn person like most of us are, to be able to deal with her with the understanding that there is a superior person who is going to defend her if you don't deal with her well. And I see that working perfectly. So anytime I want to do anything whatsoever, a wise man will make sure that he makes sure that our wife, or his wife rather, is happy with him. I'm going for this interview, honey. I hope there is no problem with you. We can talk about it now before I go, please. Because this job is important. Just kidding. But you understand what I'm talking about? Make peace with her. Ensure that she's well taken care of so that your prayers be not hindered. Next week, by the grace of God, I'm going to be giving the other 2 points. I believe the one I've shared today has been of help. Shall we pray?